Brother, listen now, they must be heard. Child of Jacob, awaken, open up your eyes. Do not be deceived or surrender to the lies. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees' hypocrisy. There is a watchman on the wall, shouting out a warning, heed the call. Been denied, distorted and concealed. One day will be clear and finally revealed. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Hypocrisy. Enchanter, enticer, these are the tools he'll employ. Confusion, aversion, my people are destroyed. Child of Jacob, awaken, open up your eyes. Do not be deceived or surrender to the lies. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host. Today is the 24th day of September, year 2017, and we've entitled today's program, Why Am I Thus? Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. We do have the free conference call set up running this morning. So if you feel like joining in or if you have a comment or question, please feel free to either call in or go to the website and join us via that method. Also, the blog window or chat window at eurofolkradio.com is open, and I will attempt to check it from time to time, and you can post your comments or questions there. We do also want to remind you that in lieu of emailing and social media, my preferred method to communicate to the brethren is through my website, PastorDan.net. And I have a daily page there. I'm also putting up archives on the archive page. There's also another page for news and relevant website addresses. And also I post pertinent articles there. So if you don't hear from me by email, please check PastorDan.net from time to time. Usually I have something going up every day unless I'm busy doing other things. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36. Therefore, do not throw away your boldness, you might even say courage, which has a great reward. For you need endurance, so that having done the will of Yahweh God, you may receive the promise. That's a good verse for today, because why am I thus? It's not just for me personally, but so many of the people communicating with me these days seem to feel a heaviness of heart. I know I'm certainly feeling it. I've been told that there's a term for it down here in Florida. They call it the hurricane blues or something similar to that. And yeah, that might be part of it. But also I think it's the sign of the times. You know, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and other verses in the scripture where at the end of the age, people would become pretty much despotic. And I think part of it, the discouragement, is just how many people that refers to. I know Pastor Eli and myself and many of the other watchmen, when we started speaking out decades ago now, that by this time we would have thought the fire would have ignited in our people. And I suppose part of the melancholy that so many of us feel is the fact that it's not turned into a blazing fire, especially in light of the fact that during this period of time the terrors have risen so high and they're flaunting their diabolical satanic system in our faces. And yet, the people still sit back and virtually do nothing. I made a statement many years ago that I wondered if white people would even get off of their lazy asses if despots were to come up to their property and grab one of their children and either murder them or rape them right in front of them. I wonder if that would even get them off of their rear ends to do something about the evil that pervades this world. I still feel that way. We've got a nation and nations that claim to be believers in Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And yet, there's a frontal assault on our race, our culture, and our faith, like no other time in history that I'm aware of. Now, there were sporadic periods of time when, like Nero of Rome and other people, persecuted Christians. But by today's standards, that was a very small thing. Very local, affected maybe thousands, occasionally maybe even tens of thousands. Today, these things are affecting multiple tens of millions of individuals. And yet the world's constantly continuing in the way it's going with very little opposition, it seems. Now, I know below the radar screen there is a resurgence of faith and a growing resentment amongst particularly the white race, but even the other races are starting to wake up to this nonsense. But I guess personally, it's just a little bit rough to take on top of everything else that's going on. Maybe I'm just having a bad hair day, as some people call it. I don't know. But why am I thus? Why are so many who contact me thus? Meaning forlorn and melancholy. You know, the scripture says that when you see all these terrible things happening, look up because you should know your redemption is near. And from what I'm seeing, my redemption should be right around the corner, because this world is one hell, literally hell of a place lately. with the dementia and satanic things being proposed in Hollywood and in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, because that's what they are, every last one of them. I used to think, well, there's got to be some good people in there. I'm not so sure there's any left in there, to be honest. If they are, they're so overwhelmed as to be indistinguishable and to have little or no effect. Now, the word tells us that we're to take a stand, a bold stand against evil. The Proverbs tell us that that is our calling and that is our honor, actually. And the watchmen here at EFR Radio have done a stellar job. They are standing very high up on the ramparts, and they are screaming at the top of their lungs for our people to wake the hell up. I commend them for that. I praise Yahweh for that, and I, again, say kudos to the brave men who are doing that, and occasionally to the ladies who are doing it as well. Because it takes a lot of courage in these days, in these dark, dark days, to take a stand for what's right, to take a stand for righteousness in a world that is quickly becoming evil to its very core. I'm praying every day for Gideon's army to arise, the Ezekiel 37 army that comes up in the latter days. And personally, it's my opinion from study and through prayer that this Ezekiel 37 army, the righteous army, the mighty army that arises from that valley of dead and dry bones that we see all around us, it'll be this same army that performs Obadiah verse 18, that brings about the end of these satanic people who are at the root of all evil. Now, the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's true. But there's one group of people that walk on this earth that love money more than any others. Therefore, that verse is talking about them as well as the rest of us, particularly them, because money is their God. Money motivates every waking moment of their miserable lives. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing to me that we don't have an open rebellion in this world today. With the criminality, the insane things going on, the pedophilia, and everything else that you can imagine. It just amazes me. I don't know. How much more do we have to take? How much more do you have to see to understand where we are? Somebody needs to explain it to me. You know, for years I've said on the radio that if you can show where I'm wrong, or any of the other watchmen are wrong, I would gladly take your call and you could explain to me where we're wrong. In almost 18 years of being on the radio, I have yet to receive that phone call. I'm still waiting. The sad fact is that we're not wrong, and more people are becoming aware of that. This message is not an easy one. That's true. It's not easy. It's not pleasant to know that you've been deceived to these levels, that the criminality goes as deep as it does. No, it's not pleasant, but it is reality. You know, the founding fathers said that even though it's a very tough and difficult thing, I want the truth and nothing but the truth. Founding fathers such as Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Paine and many others were known to have said such things. And it's very true, and it's a timeless truth. It's a timeless saying that it applies in perpetuity. The truth and nothing but the truth. The truth shall set you free. Have you ever wondered what it's talking about? So, free from what? Free from what? Maybe free from perpetual debt? If you get rid of the Jewish banking, world banking system, these private central bankers, do you think maybe that might be a good thing? How about free from slavery? Indentured servitude in the workforce to keep the factories going so that the rich at the top can just stay rich. Do you think that's our Heavenly Father's way? How about free from disease? Do you think the medical mafia is going to tell you how to get your health back? When they're making now, it's probably in the trillions of dollars, certainly multiple hundreds of billions of dollars every year. Do you think they're going to take that away? Of course not. Do you think these lying prostitutes behind the pulpit are going to set you free? with the truth? For the same reason, the love of money, they won't do it. It's a cushy job. It's a great job, actually. Don't have to work very hard. Sure as hell don't have to know much. Just read from the book that the headquarters sends out every year with its year-long list of sermons that you will follow, or they will pull your credentials. And after all, the sheep are in love with credentials today, aren't they? That's the new byword. Back in the day, it was if you were a member of the king's court or whatever. Today, it's your credentials. It doesn't matter that they lied, cheated, or even were given those credentials, such as Obama, given his, quote, honorary degree. Really? How do you get an honorary degree, by the way? What does it mean to have an honorary degree when you're a complete idiot, like Obama, or any of the other morons in Washington, D.C.? What does that degree really mean? It's like giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens that can't even speak your language. How do they read the signposts? How do they read the instruments on the dashboard? How do they read the owner's manual for the car? So what does the driver's license really mean? It obviously doesn't mean that you're qualified to drive a car or operate an automobile. Not anymore, if it ever did. Because they can be given out like candy, much like degrees in college, high school diplomas at the high school level. They give them out now to make people feel good. Give licenses to illegal aliens to make them feel like they're part of us. Everything's upside down. Could that be part of the melancholy? Just the fact that you're aware of how upside down everything is? And I do mean everything is upside down, folks. Everything. And it could be a part of the age factor, too. I've walked this earth for a good number of decades now. I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot. A lot of scars. A lot of good times, though, too. A lot of wondrous things, miracles. People coming to the knowledge of the truth. Finding out who's who in the zoo. Those are wonderful things. But there's also a lot of scars. There's a lot of burden. There is a lot of heartache associated with trying to wake people up that refuse to hear. It gives a lot of meaning to the verses that talked about the countenance of our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos in the Greek. You know, it talks about the fact his countenance was forlorn. He had that look on him. I can just well imagine what that look was like. Because here was Father Yahweh walking amongst his people. He put on flesh so that they could better understand, because it's obvious our people don't get it very easily. So he comes down and he puts on flesh so that we can actually see a person and hear literal words. And he walks the walk as a demonstration. Can you imagine the heartache as you walk amongst your creation and they don't give a damn about the truth? They don't give a damn about the innocent lives that have suffered and in some cases died at the hands of these diabolical creatures that walk amongst us. As long as they have their job and the roof over their heads and a car to drive, all's well in the world. As Messiah walked amongst his people, the embodiment of righteousness right there in front of their very faces, and so few even care. That has to hurt like hell. If we as mortals can experience that pain, can you imagine what it must have been like for Messiah in his perfection to see his creation become what they had become? You know, there's a part in the scripture that talks about the fact at one point Yahweh regretted ever forming mankind. He repented of even forming us. And you can kind of understand that as you get older. You youngsters probably don't, because you still have a lot of vitality. You still have a lot of resilience to the pain. But as Pastor Eli and Pastor Steve, I'm sure, can attest to this, that those of us that have reached this age, it gets a little tougher because you've been through a whole lot more. Now, I don't mean this to be a Debbie Downer type program, but it's something I felt led to talk about because if it's bothering me, then it must be bothering a lot of other people. And from the emails and the texts and the phone calls, I would say that that's true. So maybe this is a meeting of the minds, so to speak, of brethren to talk about these issues in fellowship, because that's what discipleship's all about. It's lifting each other up. You know, when things are going well, you don't need a whole lot of that, do you? Okay? But when things are rough, and for me right now, it's rough, and I'm not sure why, to be honest with you. I'm not sure why, but the spirit, inward spirit, has been difficult. I'm at a loss for actual words to describe it. It's like a heavy weight. I guess that's the way you could look at it. A heavy weight. You feel the burden. You feel the pain of knowing where we are, and yet so few seem to be reaching for the life raft. There's a flood coming, and you've got boats. You've got knowledge, you've got information, whether it's about health, about Christ, about government, about the money system, whatever. I mean, we've got so many lies and deceptions out there, where do you begin? And you've got these boats of truth. You've got these lifelines that you want to throw out to those that are drowning, those who suffer. And most don't even care. Most just don't even care. Pastor Steve talks about the apostasy, you know, the great apostasy at the end times, and I believe that's where we're at. The falling away from the faith. People don't have faith in anything anymore. They don't have faith in each other. They don't have faith in the truth. Well, if they don't have faith in the truth, then they have no faith in Father Yahweh, obviously. If we had true believers and true followers of the Christ, we'd have rebellion in the streets today. So, ergo, it would seem to me that we've got a lot of people claiming to be followers of Christ, when in reality, they're like the rhinos. Republican in name only? Well, these are sinos. Christian in name only. And they're everywhere. Churches are full of them. Streets are full of them. People have lost the natural affection. The scriptures talk about that. The loss of natural affection at the end of the age. And they have. Mothers don't really care about their children anymore. It's all about me. It's all about my career. It's all about my body. Now we don't even have babies by natural birth anymore. We get C-sections. That way we can plan it. We can plan the birthday. We can plan the day of the week. We can plan it so it doesn't interfere with my vacation schedule. That's how sick we've become. Mothers don't even give a damn about their own bodies and the body of their child to have it naturally. They don't give a damn about that child to feed it mother's milk so that it has a good start on life, especially with all the poisons that we have today. Oh, no, no, I don't want to be bothered. Besides that, the local Nakash doctor told me that formula is better for my baby. He wouldn't lie to me now, would he? Oh, no. Feed him that Enfamil and all that other factory made, because that's got to be more nutritious than what mom has. That's how really stupid we've become. It's just, and you wonder why. You wonder why you feel this way? Mothers don't even want to have a child, period. And when they do, oh, cut it out of me. And then take them from my arms for days, maybe even weeks, because of the C-section, before my baby even knows their mother, feels the warmth, and hears the heartbeat of mom. Before that ever happens, let them know the cold, sterile hospital room with strangers attending to it. That's much better. And then when baby finally is delivered, if it's a boy, he's been mutilated already. And we're going to give him formula because, after all, I don't want my boobs to be too big, or I don't want to have to take a little inconvenience of sensitivity to my breast to feed it the proper way. That's just too damn much to ask, isn't it? It's the same way with the believers. You want me to actually get off my ass and do something, Dan? You mean you actually want me to do something like make a phone call, write a letter, send a text, send an email, and God forbid, get my rifle and load it? Tell me, Dan, you're not serious. The local preacher told me all I got to do is show up once a week and throw some money in the plate and I'm good to go. Yeah. And you wonder why I feel the way I do. I've believed for a long time Father put me here for a purpose. I'm going to be honest with you. It's a genuine feeling. But now I'm almost wondering if I haven't deluded myself. What's my purpose? I had visions of being part of an army of righteous men who would say, I've had enough of this garbage. I've had enough of the innocents dying, of babies being butchered, of people dying of cancer and numerous other diseases, all the creation of man. But there is none. It's the watchman screaming from the rooftops and a handful that hear and understand the message. Kind of depressing. Maybe that's part of my problem. Could have been Irma, the storm. It wasn't a hurricane. I'm telling you, I live down here with the eye of this storm, supposed eye, of this storm went right over the house I was in, not even close to a hurricane. Oh, there's a lot of wind damage all around us, but so does a tropical storm. It would do exactly the same thing. Throw in a couple tornadoes for some local damage, same thing, all right? So once again, just like with NASA, we're given CGI images of something to get us to be afraid. Here we go again. People that are afraid can be pushed around. In fact, people that are afraid can be caused to evacuate their homes and run hundreds and hundreds of miles away over CGI, over a TV screen, the image of the beast. It was a test run, folks. All this stuff is a test run. They're seeing what your limits are. They see how you react to the images of the beast so that they can define and tweak those images when the show is ready to start. And it's not far away. They've got almost as much intel as they need. And certainly this hurricane gave them a lot when they got millions of people to vacate over a tropical storm. I'll tell you what, the people in the Keys have been telling me they will never leave their home again. It doesn't matter what the Weather Channel says, and it doesn't matter what the local authorities say. They were lied to. Oh, imagine that. Government officials lying. There's an item. That's a tough one to believe. Government officials lying. They were told that they would get a, quote, hurricane pass if they would vacate their homes in the Keys, which would allow them to return immediately after, only they didn't let them return. And there's always a good excuse, always. So what are all of these, quote, government goons and bureaucrats doing when nobody's watching them? You can trust them if you want. I don't trust any of them. You can lay your feelings and cautions aside, but not me. I don't trust them. I haven't trusted them ever since Vietnam. And so I'm not going to. And I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of people say, Dan, how can you live that way? How can you live that way not trusting your own government? Actually, I can live quite well. You see, in my own walk, I've had the privilege of seeing myself not have to suffer the things that my brothers and sisters have suffered because they did listen to the government. When the government told me municipal drinking water was okay, I was drinking bottled water, and that was clear back in the late 70s. I knew not to trust them. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's right once again. When they told me that eggs were bad for me, I didn't believe them. I ate as many eggs as I wanted to, always have. Well, the only thing is I eat farm fresh, organic, fertilized eggs the way God intended. I could eat a dozen a day and it wouldn't affect me. Now, those white things they call eggs down there that came out of a corporate farm, yeah, you better be careful how many of those you eat. But not those of us that listen to the Holy Spirit and our common sense and don't trust big agra, big pharma, big government. You see, big, there's your clue. If it's big, it means it's corporate. It means it's a entity. And typically today, that entity is headed by Edomite Jews. And what did Christ say? Well, in so many words, he said, if their lips are moving, they're lying. Oh, so there you go. And since they're at the head of my government, that is why I have not trusted them for a long, long time. They're liars and deceivers, just like they were to Adam and Eve in the garden, just like they've been all their lives. Liars and deceivers. Now, some people say, well, Dan, why would Yahweh God put such a creature on this earth? Why would he allow that to exist? Isn't that sort of unfair? Is it really? Is it unfair when Yahweh, through the prophets, warned you about these people? Is it unfair when Christ himself walked amongst you and had the writers of the Holy Writ tell you about these people? And yet you still don't believe? I guess that's what's so disappointing. It's staring you right in the face. Excuse me. It's staring you right in the face, and yet you deny it. You turn against it. You turn away from it. And that's just, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. Maybe some of y'all could counsel me and edify me and enlighten me. What is it I'm not seeing here? Because I have a very difficult time wrapping my head around that kind of ignorance. Willful ignorance. As Joe Cortina says, it should be a capital crime to be willfully ignorant. Now, Joe's a little bit rough, especially when Joe calls himself a New Testament Christian. I always love that term. I'm a New Testament Christian because that God in the Old Testament, he's just too violent. He's got too many rules. That's funny. You're a New Testament Christian, which means supposedly you believe in the Christ, and yet the Christ quoted the prophets, which come from the Old Testament. That's another one I can't put my arm and my mind around, is these people that claim such things. It's like, where's your logic? Again, I'm open. Email me, call me, text me, write to me. I don't care. But if I'm so wrong, then you need to share with me. You need to straighten me out here because I'm really having a tough time with this, especially with this long list that I have in front of me of all of the things that are absolutely nuts today. Even people that don't have faith in Yahweh above, where is your logic, people? Where is the common sense that God gave even to the animal kingdom? Okay? Animals show more sense than people do today. You don't see animals trying to have their children a different way. You don't see animals giving their little ones something other than mother's milk. Now, people will say, well, Dan, that's ridiculous. They don't have hospitals. They don't have a medical profession. They don't have science. Yeah, I know. They just have basic instincts and trust what the Father, the Creator, has done, and they're not so full of themselves that they think they can do it better. Only humans do that. Yeah. When Father Yahweh said he repented of making man, I almost have to agree with him. And I'm a fellow man. And yet, Father, I'm not so sure you did the right thing by letting us stay here. Really, what have we done? What have we done in your name of late that's any good? Where is it? Oh, we've got inventions. We've got trinkets. We've got computers and the internet, and we got little fancy things like that. But mankind himself, where is the improvement? Where is the love of truth? Where is the love of fellow man to where you're willing to tell the truth? Pastor Steve has up on the window here a quote from Benjamin Franklin, "Common sense is not common." Amen. And I know it goes well past Benjamin Franklin. It goes back all the way to the scriptures and the prophets and their lamenting of the state of our people. So this is nothing new. But to this degree, to the fact that it affects multiple hundreds, if not billions, of souls on this earth, and we still don't think we need to fix things? That's the part. The magnitude is what I'm getting at. We've always had evil. Trust me, there's been tons and tons of evil from day one. I cringe at some of the stories I've read and the articles about what man has done to fellow man. It's utterly disgusting. But to this level, especially since the world wars, the two world wars, the Jewish world wars, and the horrific loss of life and injury to life, and many of them innocent. They were not combatants. Just the wholesale slaughter of men, women, and children. It is indescribable. Go read the book Hellstorm, or watch the video, The Greatest Story Never Told, if you have the courage. Go read it and tell me that that doesn't go to your very core and make you weep for mankind and our sorry state. I just find it indescribable as I sit here this morning. I searched. I said, Father, what do you want me to tell these people today? There's so much going on. We could go in almost any direction. Or is there a particular guest I should call? And what do I need to tell these people today? And when I sat down here, I was at a complete loss. It's one of the few times this has happened to me. I had no idea. I have a whole list of things that are wrong. But many of the watchmen have been telling you about this. There's a ton of YouTubes and websites that have been telling you all about this, like the murders that are happening down there in Texas because of Harvey and the geoengineering and on and on and on. But none of them came to the surface as an actual area to go. And that's why I'm sort of bearing my soul to you this day, because this hurts. This hurts. I know it hurts the other men as well, the other watchmen as well. It hurts to know what we know, and you just don't seem to get it. You do not grasp it, people. And you're not sharing it with others. You're not taking on the passion. Now, I understand that as a watchman, Yahweh put a coal on our tongues. The scripture talks about putting a hot coal on our tongues. Do you know what that's a biblical way of saying? It's like you can't stop wagging your tongue. I know Eli and Steve and David and Andy and Paul, they all know what I'm talking about. You couldn't stop talking about Yahweh and his law, even if you wanted to. Like a hot coal dancing on your tongue. You got to keep that tongue moving or that coal is going to burn its way down through your tongue. I understand you're not going to have that kind of passion, but you should have some. You should have some passion about what's going on in this world to the innocents, the direction this world is taking. You should have some concern even about your own soul and its destiny. You should have some concern about the direction this world is taking. And I'm not seeing it. I don't see the passion. Thank you, Pastor Steve. And again, you know, we watchmen, and I know many of the watchmen that are here on EFR. I've known them for years, so I know the kind of guys they are. They are salt of the earth soldiers in this war. Salt of the earth. And they very rarely ever talk about things like donations and funding and all that. And I agree with them. It's the last thing we ever want to talk about. But at the same time, you cannot ignore what we have to go through with very little help. And I'm not diminishing those that do try to help us out. But it's saddening when you consider that you're sitting here and you're trying to rectify the tremendous number of wrongs in this world, and you're doing it almost alone. Almost alone. You know, James Perloff wrote a book called Truth is a Lonely Warrior. I just finished it. And he makes so many good points in that book. I would highly recommend it. I'm in the middle of another book that I would highly recommend, written by a fellow Floridian who's also a veteran, a former law enforcement officer, and now he's a lawyer. But he's most certainly a patriot and most certainly a believer. Poison from, or a fruit from a poisonous tree. Fruit from a Poisonous Tree by Melvin Stamper. It's very hard to read, actually, in some ways, because he's so accurate in describing where we've gone wrong and how things are topsy-turvy. But, you know, when we talk about things that are gone wrong in this world, folks, it's because we, the people, have lost the passion. The people have lost their passion for truth. The people have lost their passion for justice. They've even lost the passion for themselves and their children. I've lost dear, dear friends to this wicked disease called cancer recently. I even lost a nephew at only 28 years old within the past 12 months. And I got to tell you, it hurts like hell. And it's not so much in their passing, because we're all going to pass at some time, folks. That's just the way of the world, okay? You cannot get around that. That's Yahweh's law. You cannot violate it. But to watch somebody you care so much about slowly die day in and day out, knowing that there are things that could be done to prevent it in the first place and possibly cure it in the second place, and yet the people don't want to hear about it. It reminds me of an interview I did many years ago when By Yahweh's Design first started, Donald William Kelly. And Dr. Kelly had written books about it. He was a crotchety fellow. He's passed over since, but he was capable of saying almost anything. But Dr. Kelly had a way of putting in words that anybody could understand what was going on. See, Dr. Kelly himself was a dentist when he started out, and he had pancreatic cancer in his early 30s. And like myself, he didn't believe in what the people were telling him or the, quote, establishment was telling him. So when they sent him home to die, he decided that he was going to take matters into his own hands. And obviously, he was successful in figuring out how to beat something as severe as pancreatic cancer. So he turned his life over to a ministry of helping those that would allow him to do that. And he, according to his records, the last time I interviewed him, he was somewhere around 33,000 people that he had helped with a 96% success rate. Did you catch that? 96%. The 4% he couldn't help were people that came to him with so little time left that his natural ways of dealing with it wouldn't work. So he probably would have had 100% if they had come to him sooner. But even still, 96% rate beats anything the mainstream has by a long shot. And I remember Dr. Kelly on the radio telling me the story about a woman who had come to him after the medical mafia was done with her. They had already radiated her and filled her full of chemo, and nothing, of course, worked. And she was very sick, and she finally decided to give Dr. Kelly a call. So Dr. Kelly took her as a patient or as a client, and he was successful. He said, "Dan, that's the good part of the story, but let me tell you the sad part of the story." Somewhere around 10 or 15 years later, this lady's son developed cancer. And I can still remember it to this day on the radio, what it sounded like when Dr. Kelly said this, because the emotion in his voice was tremendous. He said, "Dan, what do you think that lady did with her son when he was diagnosed with cancer?" She took him to the doctor. She took him to have radiation and chemotherapy done to him. She didn't even bother to talk to me about it. That shows you the level of brainwashing. That shows you the level of lackadaisicalness of our people. It shows you the lack of faith of our people. You know, Christ said, "Will I find faith when I return?" Now I understand why he asked that. Years ago, I thought, well, hell, we got lots of churches. There's millions and millions of churches and millions of people calling themselves believers. Why in the world would he ask, "Will I find faith when I return?" Doesn't seem like such a silly question now, does it? I know I asked the same thing. Where the hell is it? And trust me, I throw myself in that boat too. I'm not talking about just everybody else. Where's our faith? Where's our faith in the God-proven and God-given ways of doing things in this world? Like I said, mothers don't even want to have children by natural birth anymore. We don't even want to create the child by natural birth. We want artificial insemination so we can pick somebody's DNA, like at a grocery store. Well, we're going to shop around here. You know, we don't want to do it by natural selection. We don't want to trust Yahweh and the divine spirit having any influence. We can better pick. Yeah, we'll go down and shop for the right sperm and DNA and impregnate the woman. And then we'll cut the baby out because, you know, we don't want to be inconvenienced with that vaginal canal birth. I mean, that's all that pushing and screaming. Oh, no. We'll just cut it out. And we can set the date and the doctor can get his golf game in and wash his car and then show up and cut the baby out and go back to whatever he was doing, chasing his nurse around the office, whatever it is. We don't want to inconvenience anybody. Then we'll go ahead and have the baby mutilated because that's what everybody tells us to do. It's the right thing to do, right? Take my son. He's never even felt mom's arms or heard her heartbeat or had a drink of mother's milk. And we'll just take him in and mutilate him. Yeah, that sounds like a good thing to do. Let him sense that trauma of strangers grabbing him in his most sensitive part and just mutilate him. And then while he's sitting there for days healing from this traumatic experience, then finally maybe he'll get to see mom. After, of course, he's had plenty of formula pumped through him and he's got none of the colostrum and other things that is in mother's milk to help kickstart his immune system. And we wonder why we're getting sick and we're getting cancers and we're having all these problems with allergies and diseases and all this other nonsense. Because we know better. We trust the doctor. We trust the new religion called science. It's disgusting. And a lot of people say, Dan, you're just old-fashioned. Well, you know what? Yeah, I am. I am old-fashioned. In fact, an old girlfriend said, Dan, you're an anachronism. I had to go look that up. Somebody hit me with something I hadn't read before. I'm an anachronism. And I looked it up in a dictionary, and sure enough, yeah, I guess I am. And I could tell you what it means, but I'm going to make you go look it up. An anachronism. Yep, that's what I am. I'm a throwback to a bygone age, I guess. But I'm not going to change. You're not going to make me feel bad about it. Because whatever days Father gives me left on this here earth, I'm going to keep on trusting him. I'm going to keep on being as simple as I can be. The KISS system. Keep it simple, stupid. Because we have become quite imbecilic, we as a people. Especially the white race, they are completely imbecilic. They've lost all sense of rational thought. They've lost all sense of loyalty, even to their own kind. They can't even follow the simplest of rules, kind after kind. How hard is that to understand? Instead, you're going to go sit in that whitewashed sepulcher next weekend, and you're going to listen to this prostitute tell you that race doesn't matter. Really? Let's see, it's mattered for thousands of years. It's mattered in the plant and animal kingdom forever. But it doesn't matter now because this cemetery-trained prostitute now says that it's a bygone concept. We're all part of one race, the human race. Well, you know something? That's a social construct of Satan and his kids. Human race? Really? Go down and tell any department head of any credible institution of learning that the physiology of each of the races is exactly the same, because if it's only one race, then they should be exactly the same, and they're going to look at you like you're a complete retard, because they're not the same. Even in nursing, since I have family that are nurses, even in nursing you're taught that drugs, the issuance of medications, have to take into account the race of the person you're giving them to. At least a few years ago, they still taught that. So this human race construct is another lie. Kind after kind. How simple. And we've lost even the human milk of kindness and concern for our own children to obey the Father and follow that simple rule. I just don't get it, I guess. I don't get it. Why the rebellion? What are you getting from this, folks? You need to straighten me out here. I'm asking for help. I want you to straighten me out here because it seems awful simple to me. So you need to explain to me what you're getting for your rebellion. So all you atheists and Jew lovers and race mixers and government knows better and all the rest of you, all these man-made institutions know far more than our Father, right? So you're in total rebellion, and yet I just don't see what you're getting. Explain it to me. Show me the evidence. I don't see it. I see misery. I see mental illness. I see my military veteran friends dying at 22 a day, highest it's ever been. So I don't think they get it. I see suicides in general are up. I see delinquency up. I see test scores down. I see families torn apart. I see children raised by an institution rather than a loving mother and father. I see ignorance abounding, death and disease, babies aborted, and the list goes on and on and on. So, explain to this farm boy, what is the benefit to your rebellion against the truth? What is the benefit that you're reaping out there? Where is it? You want to show it to me? I don't see it. I see just the opposite. And yet, for those who follow Yahweh's law, I see smiles. I see generally much healthier people. I see a blessing on them and often a hedge of protection put around them, much as I'm convinced happened here in Florida during this storm. Don't call it a hurricane. It was a storm. So, you know, again, I'm looking for the feedback because maybe I'm seeing things wrong. You know, I don't know why you choose to follow Satan's kids. Their debt money system has about bankrupted the United States. And actually, in the true sense of the term, we are already bankrupt. We're in the end of the cycle. And if you think it's bad now, you hang on to your horses here, folks, because you're going to see it get a lot worse. You can't have a Babylonian fake money system like this go on forever. It has a terrible end, and we're just now approaching that end. It's going to get worse. And the rest of the world is abandoning this Jewish, fake, phony debt money system that the so-called eggheads, the so-called intelligentsia, all of them Edomite, Zionist, communist Jews, like Greenspan, fed you, and you bought it. Instead of listening to your father, you listened to the despicable, satanic Jew. Just like Eve fell for that garbage, you fell for it too. Oh, I'm smart, and I'm listening to Alan Greenspan. You know, he's got such an education. He's such a smart man. Really? He looks like a pretty decrepit, satanic, moron Jew to me. But he made it sound good, and he made sure to put some shekels in the right pockets. And the rest of the sheep just sort of kept munching away in the pasture. Well, I'm going to leave it up to my representative in Congress, you know. We do have a representative government, and I don't have time. I'm out here making hay or building houses or fixing plumbing. I don't have time. I'm going to trust that there representative in Washington to look out for my best interests. How'd that work out for you, folks? Again, man-made government, which is a form of idolatry. And rather than obey Father, you went with it. You fell for it. The Constitution and the forming of a three branch of government that's supposed to be watching out for you. Really? Let's see. It's made up of people. Scripture tells us people can be evil. People can be corrupted. And then on top of it, you put aliens in there. Aliens culturally, aliens racially, aliens in every regard. Aliens to this country, aliens to our heritage. And then you expect that body to look out for our best interests. Again, how'd that work out for you? As you look around at the mess we're in today, we buy all of these Jewish progressive ideas because, after all, it came out of think tanks and universities. So it must be good, right? I don't know. I read the scripture. That's pretty plain and simple. And what they progressively want us to do runs counter to the scripture and common sense. But we're going to do it anyway. Well, because I'm lazy and I don't want to get involved. And, yeah, I got a pretty decent job. The Jews give me a few scraps on the table while they're raking in billions of dollars in profits. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. And that applies to most of the white race. You're bought and paid for. You're basically whores. Most of the white race today, you're whores. You do what you do for the money you got, your job, whatever. The few trinkets you're allowed to keep, which are disappearing. Just hang on. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. Yahweh's going to strip all that away from you, by the way. It's already happening. I'm watching it as it's happening. All right. If you think you're going to keep all this stuff the Jews given you and you're not going to have to suffer for your idolatry and your ignorance and your rebellion, boy, I've got news for you. You're in for a real rude awakening, and it's right around the corner. Okay, I know you're tired. You're tired of hearing me go off on the condition of things. Let me go through my list here and just expound a little bit. There's been some reports coming out that there's some very, very hideous activities going on in Texas. I don't have any firsthand information. I've only got the testimonies of some individuals from Texas. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is I want the remnant to be aware that something nefarious appears to be going on in Texas. And that's the first step to discovery, is to have a questioning attitude. I've discovered so many things because I've had a questioning attitude all my life. I never accept any response or any statement by anybody on its own face value. I investigate it all. That has saved me so many times. I'm not saying it's always deliberately a lie. Sometimes people are just ignorant of all the facts. But having a questioning attitude is very important. So I'm telling my brothers and sisters of Texas, you need to be very, very careful, especially when it involves government, any branch of government, or the banking industry, which, of course, they're in bed together. We also have this thing called white privilege being hammered into our souls today. What the hell's that all about, white privilege? Are you kidding me? The good news is I'm seeing an awful lot of white people starting to fight back on that one there. So maybe that's going to wake up some of our folks. White privilege? No. You know what Christianity used to be called? It was called a white man's burden. Now, why do you think a long, long time ago it was called a white man's burden? Because we are the Israelites of old, and we were given the burden to be the leaders, the examples. True. So it was our burden. We were to keep ourselves in line as a witness to everything around us of Yahweh's law and Yahweh's ways. It seems like white people have forgotten about that. And the other races, of course, are just jumping on the bandwagon because Jewish money is making sure that we have plenty of protesters and plenty of people trying to upset the apple cart and cause all kinds of confusion. We also see the empowerment of women. I just saw an article where the Marine Corps has just put a woman in charge. They've got an officer for the first time in history in the Marine Corps. Combat divisions, I'm sure. There you go. Another step. I saw another thing where Texas is celebrating the fact that Dallas is now coming on board with the empowerment of women, so they're going to make sure there's more women in charge. Great. That's a wonderful thing. I've watched as industry and the military, from my time in the military, starting to empower the women folk and put them in roles that are not traditionally theirs, and also giving them leadership roles and an unmitigated disaster. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing that, but, you know, it's true. I just talked to two young guys that are in town for a few months working at a power plant as contractors during an outage. And we got on that same topic, and they come from the petrochemical industry mostly in the fossil fuel division of power. And they concurred that it's destroying the cohesiveness of maintenance and operations within industry because they just don't get it. They're not wired for it. But here again, we're in rebellion. We're in total rebellion. The cryptocurrencies, according to a few of the experts that I'm listening to, they claim that this is going to be our way to fight the beast and his phony baloney money system. I have no idea if it is or isn't. Is it a form of rebellion? Yeah, at least it is at the moment. Can it be subverted? Yeah, I believe it can be. It's also dependent on the internet, and the internet is a fragile thing, folks. It wouldn't take much to bring the internet down. It would cause a whole lot of grief. That's true. That's true. Now, Pastor Steve and Eli and the other watchmen have been talking about this being the Feast of Tabernacles this period of time. We can't say the exact day, at least from where I'm sitting, because we have various calendars. And I'm not going to take sides on whose calendar I think is more accurate than the other folks. What we need to remember, as Richard Ford and other people have talked about, is the fact that what's important right now is that you remember what the feast was to teach you. It's a remembrance, right? Remembrance. And the feasts were always an educational thing, a training session, if you will, because they didn't carry books back then. They didn't have iPads. They didn't have tablets. They didn't have computers. They didn't have an internet. Coming together at the feast time was a time of reverence. It was a time of fellowship. It was a time of teaching. The experts, such as Steve and Eli and Andy and Dave and Paul and Chris and all the rest, they would be the elders who would read the law and expound upon the law at that time. That was your training. That was going back to school to refresh the law. Refresh your memory about our history, the coming out of Egypt, and all the other things that Scripture's talking about. We're also finding out that at this time, only white people can be racist. I think everybody's aware of that. Even white people are finally waking up to that nonsense. But I'm going to tell you, I've been around the non-white races quite a bit, and I'm going to tell you, they're every bit as racist as anybody else, especially the Jews. They are probably the supreme racist on the planet or on this earth. So don't let them saddle you with a label such as that. Our people need to wake up. They need to take pride in who they are, their heritage, their culture, etc. Take a stand, especially within your family. A lot of people say, well, I can't change the world. Really? But you can teach your children. I'll give a quick example of that. They try to say that race mixing is to be guarded and protected and promoted, actually, by the churches and by society. Well, I'll tell you what I did in my own family. I told my children, all six of them, when they became old enough to date, that here's the rule of the house. You will not date. You will not marry for certain. And God forbid you have children with anything but white. I said, now here's what I'm going to tell you. That's how I feel about it. If you choose to disobey me and our Heavenly Father and the Scripture, that's your choice. I can't stop you. In the old days, I could have had you stoned, but these aren't those days. So let me tell you what will happen, that upon my finding out that you've decided to marry and or have children with another race, you no longer will exist as far as I'm concerned. You are not welcome in my home. I do not want to receive a phone call, a letter, or a visit by you and your bastard children. No, you don't exist. I don't want anything from you, neither will you receive anything from me from that point on, because you have chosen not only to disobey our Heavenly Father, but you have disgraced hundreds upon hundreds of generations of our family that knew it was important and kept our race pure to this day. So if you want to go against all that, that's your choice. but I don't have to go with you. And I don't have to accept you as a member of my family. And I don't have to accept you coming to my house. I don't have to accept the creation that you made that's an aberration of nature. No, I don't have to accept it. And I won't accept it. Now, praise Yahweh, all my children made very sure that they obeyed God's law. And they made sure I knew that they were obeying God's law. There's always a way to fight, folks. If you're armed with the truth, if you're armed with our Heavenly Father's law, there's always a way to fight the system. Father gives you that. But it takes your being proactive. You have to make the decision that you're going to enforce and stick by that law. Now, Yahweh made it very easy for me because I meant every word I said. A lot of people say, well, how could you do that? It's your children. Well, yeah, I love my children, but not to the point of disobeying the Father. No, I don't. Maybe that's the way men are wired versus women. Women have unconditional love. At least that's what I hear. Personally, there is no such thing as unconditional love. Even our Heavenly Father has conditions. They're in the book. Read it. He expects what? Repentance. He expects you to walk in His ways. Or as Christ said, if you love me, obey my commandments. There is an expectation. And as a father and even as a mother, there should be expectations of our children. You know, take a look at society today and what it has gotten us, all this kissing the asses of our children. Not a very pretty picture from where I'm sitting. You know, we have turned children into an idol today. Our people worship this idol. They buy it, all kinds of things. They shower it with gifts and gold and money and cars and phones and television sets and rooms in a house. I even had one of the children tell me they were going to take the master bedroom in their home and turn it into a dormitory for two daughters so they have more room. What? What? The master bedroom belongs to the master of the house. Those children can learn to get along and live in a smaller room. But that's the kind of mentality we have today. We're going to even inconvenience those that get up every day and work every day and struggle every day to provide for our children. We're going to make it rougher on us so our children have it better. Really? Where's that in Scripture? Does somebody want to point that out to me? Because I've been reading it for a long time. I'm in prayer pretty often, like daily. And I don't ever hear the Holy Spirit telling me that's the truth. I don't ever see anything in Scripture that tells me that's what we're supposed to do. Where is it? I want to see it. Show it to me. Come on. You're buying into it because I look at society and everywhere I go, people are just lavishing all kinds of goodies and saying all kinds of stupid things about their children. Now, don't get me wrong. Children are important. They're a blessing. No doubt about it. And they're really a blessing when they behave themselves, just like the Scripture says. They are an honor to mom and dad when they walk in the way. But they are a disgrace to mom and dad when they rebel. You see, there's conditions, folks. If you want to buy into the big lie that it's unconditional love, you go right ahead. As we've said on this program many times, you can ignore the truth, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring the truth. You can ask my children. Now, I treated them pretty good, but I didn't lavish them with gifts and praise and love when they didn't deserve it. And I don't think you should be either, Mom. So I know you wear it as a badge of honor. I've heard so many women say, I have unconditional love for my children. Really? Oh, isn't that sweet? Let me know how it works out for you in 18 years, would you? Let me know what kind of child you have. Is he one of those children that never writes, never calls, doesn't care if you live or die? We got a lot of them walking around. Oh, they got mom and dad's phone number and memory dial when they need money or they need a favor or things didn't work out for them. But as long as things are rolling pretty good with the job and they got a car and they got some money in their pocket, you don't even hear from them. So let me know how that works out, that unconditional love thing. I, on the other hand, think I'm going to stick with what I've always trusted, and that's Father above. I have conditions. You want my love? You want my adoration? Then you will follow the commandments. You will have the conditions. If you don't, then you don't deserve them, and I'm not going to give it to you. We have to do it by the book, folks. Or haven't you figured that out yet? We're not following the rule book. We're arguing with the Creator. We are the created ones. We don't have a right to argue with the Creator. So stop it. It's that simple.
People say life is so complicated today. I just don't know who to trust. I don't know where to go.
Really? Really? What's so complicated about drink lots of clean water? How's that complicated? How's it complicated to eat the food that God created and not stuff that factories create and pharmaceuticals create and corporate farms create? I had one guy argue with me, believe it or not. This was a farmer down here in Florida. He argued that we have to use the GMO and corporate methods or we would go out of business. And I just looked at him and I said, really? Well, is it because you've got yourself so far in debt that you have to produce so much food, or at least Franken food, to get back enough money to make payments to the Jew banker? Could that be why you've got to do it the wrong way? Yeah, I know that's the answer because I grew up on farms and I still have relatives that are farmers and I know what Big Agra is telling them. I've seen what they do with no-till farming and planting the Monsanto Terminator seeds and the hybrid seeds. You think you need to do that to survive financially as farmers, but that's only because you bought the lie. Instead of trusting Father that you, if you do it the right way and you produce the fruits and the vegetables and the herbs naturally, see, you have no faith. If you do it naturally and market it that way, the right people will buy it. But there's no faith. As Christ said, will I find faith? Well, Father, no, you're not. There's very little faith left. People don't even have faith in the natural things.
Well, Dana, I don't know why the chemotherapy killed my child and radiation killed my mom.
Nowhere in the discussion is there anything about the herbs and the natural. And even let's talk about what caused it. You see, it's a mystery. Isn't that neat how Babylon gives us the it's a mystery whenever it's something like that? It's a mystery. Cancer just sort of happens. Really? You buy that? You buy that garbage, it just happens. You know, that's like driving your car down the road and you run out of gas on the turnpike, and it just happens. It had nothing to do that you ignored the warning on the dashboard saying you were low on fuel. It had nothing to do with the fact that if you don't put gas in the tank, the engine doesn't run. No, it's just a mystery. It just happens. And yet there's doctors and doctors and doctors all over the place that'll tell you cancer always has a cause. And if you don't fix what caused it, you will never prevent it. Isn't that amazing? But here again, we're in the latter days. Where's the faith, Father? Where's the faith? They don't have faith in anything. You said the plants would be for our food and our medicine. Pretty simple, isn't it? Food and medicine. Oh, but I'm going down to that pharmacy and pick me up some medicine that my doctor prescribed for me because, you know, I got this here ailment. Really? How did you get the ailment? Did you look into that? Well, no, it's been there. It's probably genetic. You know, my daddy, he had it too. Yeah, well, he did the same stupid-ass things that you're doing. So, yes, like father, like son, you're doing the same dumbass things, and now you've got the ailment. But by God, I'm not going to follow Yahweh's way of doing things. No! I'm going to be just like daddy and mama. I'm going down to the doctor and let him pump me full of drugs. Oh, while you're at it, give me my latest shots for vaccines. Put some more mercury and thimerosal and all the other concoctions in there. And then I can sit back a year or two from now and bemoan all the new stuff that's happened to me. Where is the faith? It's gone. That's the answer. Will I find faith on the earth? On the Aratz? Below the firmament? Is there faith amongst man? No, there isn't. Very simply put, no, there isn't. We're smarter than Father Yahweh. We've got science, and we've got history, and we've got institutions, and we've got these brainiacs. We call them professors. They're whores, too. Prostitutes. Because I've had them, even Phil from Tampa was on the air with me here not that long ago talking about the fact when he was in school for his history degree, the professor told him behind closed doors, I can't teach that truth, Phil. Yeah, what you're saying is true, but I can't teach it. Or they'll pull my credentials. They'll fire me. Unbelievable. I hope you've all heard about the fraud and the criminality of the Red Cross. Now here again, it's Red Cross. Wonder who's at the top of that organization. So I would boycott that. I don't have anything to do with the Red Cross. You know, the Red Cross is in here in our community because of the storm that went through. And they got a big old bullhorn, and we've got free food. Yeah, come down to the office, and we're handing out free food. So one of my neighbors went down and got some of this free food. You call that food? Are you kidding me? I don't know how you would charge for that. There's nothing nutritious about it at all. It's like when I went to the hospital for some of my relatives recently that were in there for operations and whatnot. And I went down to the restaurant thinking, well, this is a hospital. They should have some pretty healthy food here. Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. So now these people are in charge of telling you how to be healthy when they eat the slop that I saw down in that restaurant. That's what they're selling the nurses and the doctors that work there. That's what they serve the patients while they're incarcerated in the hospital. Yeah, I use the word incarcerated. I keep going back to those words of Messiah. Will I find faith? No, Father, it's gone. I don't see it anywhere. We've lost all common sense. Needless to say, there's an effort right now to boycott all things of It's a Lie, and I would agree with that. Some people wanted me to buy some different natural things online and come to find out that the company is owned by a Jew. Well, I'm not going to buy it. As much as I can do it. Now, I know it's pretty hard to be 100% free from them, but by God, we can do something. So everywhere I can, I will boycott that country and those people. Every way I can. Now, here's the beauty of it. If you learn to simplify, I know that's a tough one. If you can learn to simplify your life and not have so many toys and all the entrapments of the Babylonian system, you'd be surprised how much you can do without, which takes a lot of money out of their pockets. That gives them a lot of power. I saw the latest shenanigans by the National Football League, or I call it the Negro Football League, NFL, Negro Football League. My buddy, he has a different term for it. It's the National Felon League, because most of them would be felons if they weren't playing football. So the only good thing about that whole charade is the fact that the ratings for the NFL are taking a nosedive right now. So maybe some people are finally starting to wake up. I gave up watching professional sports quite some time ago. Well, I don't even watch television anymore, but particularly this professional sports, I don't even want to see it if I go out to eat, which is rare, but if I'm out or somewhere at a lounge or whatever, I don't even want to see it on the television. It's disgusting. Pampered prima donnas that don't add one iota to society. Not one iota. And to pull off these stunts. And again, there's Jew money going into this. You know that. These guys don't have any. They could care less. All right. They go through the motions of pledging allegiance and all that stuff because it's expected. So it doesn't really mean anything when they do it anyway. But there's a lot of money in their pockets. And I'll guarantee you that there was money put in their pockets to pull these stunts. It wasn't their idea. It's no different than Jenner changing his sex. What the hell's his first name? Bruce Jenner. Now it's what? Caitlyn? What a joke. It only took $3.1 million or thereabouts. Maybe it was three even. I don't know. $3 million to go through all that. Do you need attention that bad, Bruce? Really? Do you need attention that bad? $3 million. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but today that's not a hell of a lot of money to go through all that. And when the money's gone, what are you left with? And even if you don't lose all the money, which most people do, especially these athletes, they're terrible with it. What do you do when you lay there at night and you start thinking about yourself, that you're a prostitute, that for money you do something completely unnatural? And not only that, it's completely detrimental to your body. This is what I just don't understand. Why don't people understand that when you violate this stuff, you're doing damage not only in your relationship to a father, but you're doing damage to your own bodies? It's unbelievable. Phil from Tampa, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dan. I just got a chance to get on your show, and I wanted to call in and say you're doing a great job. And I think that it's a real thrill to listen to your show. And I unfortunately I'd been out running some errands today, so. I only got a chance to get on for the last 5 minutes, so I thought I'd give you a call and give in my 2 cents, I guess you'd say. So,
well, your two cents is always welcome.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I think go ahead.
No, I was just saying I'm just sort of on a solo rant today. There's some kind of a weird mood that I'm in and a heaviness of spirit that. And it's not just me. I'm hearing it from others as well, but it's really, really been heavy on me. I'm thinking we're approaching the time when Yahweh's going to silence the watchman. Maybe I'm wrong, but it's like we're getting close. But go ahead, Phil. What were you going to say?
I think you're right on that. I think that the time is becoming very, we're approaching that point of no return. It's either, you know, fish or cut bait, one of the two, and we have to stand up for our convictions. I was listening to the radio and they were discussing what happened over in London this morning, I guess, and they were saying that all the players were holding hands, you know, and they were united with their owners, a few owners, they didn't say Jew, of course. And they said, we're all united as one, you know, with all different races and all different nationalities. It was so obvious what they were trying to do. And I think it's absolutely, and I honestly welcome it because I think that the more that they're exposing themselves for who they are and their agenda, and they wouldn't even have the guts to do it over here, but they do it over in a foreign country. And, just like what Obozo did whenever he visited foreign lands, he would humiliate himself in front of foreign dignitaries and stuff. He'd bow down to monarchs and things and make a complete fool out of himself. And they're basically doing the same thing. And the Jews are so conceited on themselves, and their desire to destroy our people and our civilization, that they're forfeiting their biggest. Their biggest supporters, and that's the white European male. Because if you remove him from the marketplace regarding the Negro Felon League, it's gonna go down the tubes.
Right. Amen to that. Here again, all of these atrocities against nature and against common sense and all, they wouldn't exist if our people would stop supporting them. I mean, really, they would dry up and vanish almost overnight. And that's why they spend so much time and money in their delusions and their deceptions. And that's what the major media's job is the constant putting out of propaganda and fear porn. Constant. It's just unbelievable. I wanted to bring up real quick for the listeners out there, and I know some people don't care for Brother Nathaniel. I'm not going to go there. I'm only caring about the message delivered. But it was interesting that you and I, Phil, did a show not long ago, and we entitled it Holocaustianity. And as far as I know, you are the one who coined that phrase. Now, it's interesting that Brother Nathaniel just put out a YouTube on Holocaustianity. So, I'm gonna give you the credit, Phil, for coming up with that and the fact that it's catching on. And, what Brother Nathaniel had to say was pretty much right in line with, your definition of what Holocaustianity is and how it's being used to deceive and manipulate the white race today.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. I've heard that and I like it because it really is a reflection of what the churches have become. And, we in identity understand that the rapture, is a myth. It's all nonsense. All you have to do is read the parable of the wheat and the tares, and you understand that his people have to go through this difficult time in order for us to wake up, and that his holy remnant will come out of it, shining bright and purified, in essence. But the churches have a tendency to live in a dream world, and they say, well, we win, so why should I care? You know, that's essentially how it is. So, and they think that if they support the it's a lie, that they'll be okay. And it's exactly the opposite there. They don't bother to understand the scriptures. They're living in a delusional world where, and they don't bother to think critically and to understand what the words mean in scripture. And they just follow the line that their preachers are being taught, are teaching them. I know that some of these televangelists will have these prophecy shows on there all the time, and every single one of them is so anti-white. It's beyond imagining. They talk about the evil power from the north and stuff like that, and they completely ignore it's a race and it's not a pile of dirt, and that's what the scriptures are all about. And once you understand that, the scriptures come alive for you. And if you forget that, it becomes a bunch of hopeless nonsense, because we all know that the land of Palestine or Israel or Judea, whatever you want to call it, was conquered multiple times, and they were conquered because they lost their, that they had followed strange gods and they raised mixed and everything else. And they had not followed Yahweh's laws, and we're suffering the same consequences. We're doing what Solomon did, unfortunately, and unfortunately we think that we're highly intelligent and we're wiser than wise as he was, and he was wise, but then when he got old he lost it pretty much, and he followed strange ideas, and it cost his nation dearly.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, that's also part of the reason why so many men have gone what they call MGTOW lately. I personally believe that there's a spiritual reference for that. As I talked to one gentleman here recently, he said, I don't want to be distracted at this time. So he says, I'm going to focus everything on research and to fix the problems and unite with my fellow men of faith, that we need to start thinking about getting serious about what's going on. So, as that mentality is multiplied through the ranks, it sort of fits with Ezekiel 37. Spiritually dead, dried up people, which is what most of our people are. Not all of them, but most of them. And the men are starting to sense the urgency. And because of that sense of urgency, the military or warrior side is starting to come to the surface. And when men start thinking about battle, the romance and the effeminate side, worrying about the ladies and having a girlfriend or a wife and all that, those things are diminished. It reminds me of when I went to basic training. Now, they used to tell us that, they put certain things in our food to diminish your attraction to the females and all in there. I don't believe all that. I believe it's an age-old consequence of when you sequester men away from the women and it's a military setting, it's a natural response that you don't think about those things, not like you normally do. And a big part of that is separating the men from them, because that's what creates it. I mean, look at the story of Balaam and Balak. How were the Israelite men of war diverted from their mission? They put beautiful women near their camp. All right. Why is it in basic training they sequester the men away from the women? Now these retards want women in the military, doing the exact opposite. You are creating an unmitigated disaster. And so that's why I believe, anyway, the MGTOW guys, whether they know it or not, men going their own way is following a natural progression and even a scriptural one. When the men of war know that the conflict is close, they're going to start joining together more, and they're going to disassociate with the ladies more. And ladies need to understand that's just going to happen. It has nothing to do with them. It doesn't mean the men don't love you. It doesn't mean the men have turned gay. It has nothing to do with that. It just means that when it comes time, as you say, to fish or cut bait, when it's time to do the fishing, when it's time to pick up the sword, men have to be around other men, other warriors, and they have to focus on the job at hand. They cannot be distracted. And that's just an age-old principle, Phil. At least that's the way I see it. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that there's a place for, you know, I think that the feminist movement has become so absurdly insane. I mean, I know there's, and I forgot what it's called, but they were talking on, I was listening to it on a show on through Renegade Tribune, and they were mentioning that you know, the porn industry has become like a weapon against our people, and that what has happened is that they've gone to this level of feminism has gone to the point where they are removing men, they're replacing men with having a cat, basically, you know, telling women to go get yourself a cat, and you can just and drop the guy, because what happens is that you have this false education, these lies that are perpetrated within the male community when it comes to relationships with women, and they remove the romance, and the women in many ways are still in a mindset of a Victorian type of life. What they want is they want their man to be a knight in shining armor, a hero, you know, that kind of thing. But then when he acts like a man, they get offended by it. You know, they're told that they're supposed to be offended by that because he's doing things that do not necessarily include her, you know, and they need to. And I think women have to stand up and say, hey, look, you know, a guy should have a right to be a guy, you know, and you should not, you know, force your way into our society. And we should let women have their groups and men have their groups. And they have certain roles within society. And if you don't appreciate those roles, then you're just going to destroy the relationships between men and women. And that's essentially what's happening. And that's one of the reasons why you're having this poor lack of communication between the sexes, especially among our people. And they're stuck on their cell phones and everything else, and they're not willing to communicate properly. And they're afraid to, because they're afraid they might say something wrong, or they might you know, touch a wrong chord or something, and it just seems to fall apart, and that's what the Jews are trying to do. They're doing everything they can to create lies that are completely contrary to nature and to Yahweh and his laws, and it's going to come back and bite them, because there's going to be a kickback. There's going to be a pushback, you know, and you can't go so far. You know, there's a saying, they say, well, you have to have an open mind. It's, yes, well, I have an open mind, but not to the point where my brain falls out. And that's what's really happening. We're having this, it's becoming suicidal, essentially. And that's what I think, I think what you're feeling, what I'm feeling, and there's nothing, there's nothing that is supporting life and the world we live in as it should be and as it was originally created to be, and we have to get to that. We have to create, art projects and centers of where we can say we are who we are, and we're going to stay that way. And we're not going to mongrelize, and we're going to have certain roles for men, certain roles for women, and certain roles for both of them together as couples. And we're going to build society as Yahweh intended.
Amen to that. Amen, brother. Well, it brings up a good point. The ladies need to understand that they have a function as well, not only to support the men as they prepare for battle, but they also need to look to each other. Our ladies have isolated themselves in many cases too. And there's some justification for that in some cases, because of the things that are going on in this world. But just as we men have to relearn how to fellowship with each other, how to build a bond, like I said, the warrior mentality, the bonding of men who are actually going to literally have each other's lives at stake. That's a very special thing, but it's also a very special thing for the women. They need to learn how to forge relationships with one another. And that's not easy. Just like with us men, I mean, there's times, men have said things or done things to me that I have to admit they pissed me off. And, we have to learn what Christ told us, to forgive 70 times 7, to turn the cheek to a brother. That doesn't mean to the alien. No. It doesn't mean to the non-believer. It means to the believer. It's a method for keeping our bond together. Well, the ladies, you got to learn the same concept. All right. Because when we men are in the field, you're going to have to rely on each other, because we men are out there and some of us aren't going to come back. All right. That's just a cold, hard fact. I like to think we're going to be like Gideon's army, though, Phil. There's going to be very few times our men are actually going to fall as casualties. Just something inside me tells me that. When we walk according to Father, we're going to be extremely victorious. But there is a chance that some of us might not return. And we have to have our ladies be not necessarily comfortable with that, but at least be able to grasp it. And to move on, because that's what we're here for, to move on and to reinforce and edify one another and comfort one another and to protect one another. We're all just a part of a big family, Phil. It's a racial family. It's, not this human race garbage that they're throwing at us, but the Israelite family, Jacob Israelite family. It's a people. Like you said, it's not real estate. It's not a bunch of dirt piled up somewhere. It's a people. John Hagee and Pat Robertson and the rest of these hacks out there that claim to be preaching the word of Yahweh, when they're telling you that we're united with the Israelis, no, we're not. They're not even of our kind. They're not of our faith. They are the antithesis of us. And so that shows them to be the liars that they are, So, we have some things to learn, both the men and the women, but we'll get there one way or the other. We have to. It's getting close to that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also think that the, it's going to be, we have this tendency to ignore things unless it's like right in our front door, and it seems like it's something just like this on a television program, and they don't even look at it really seriously. Well, it's over there, it has nothing to do with me. And it does have to do with, it does have to do with us and it, and, it, what happens over in Europe, what happens over in South Africa, because what they're trying to do here, what they're trying to do here in the United States and in Europe is exactly what they're trying to do in South Africa. And if we don't straighten up and stand up for our people, we're going to have to fight for a very exist. We're going to have to fight for a bread, and it's not going to be given to us, and we're going to end up being slaves to the racial alien, which is essentially what we are. We're were fighting these wars for the Jewish bankers. And the one good thing I think that's really good about it is it makes you put your priorities in line, because I think the material blessings that the white race has received over the years, and in some degree it has to do with this banking system that there's so many of us have fallen for, has made us feel empty and has a deep spiritual emptiness in our lives, and it's making us having to put our priorities in line and understand what's really important as far as Yahweh is concerned. And that's something that Yahweh really wants us to do. And because then we won't be able to be bribed. And once that happens, the Jews are in serious trouble.
Amen to that. And you bring up a good point, Phil. I've done some shows, talking about what it's like to live under Yahweh's law. And that is exactly what we talked about in there. This current system that we're under diminishes individuals. It diminishes who we are in Yahweh's eyes. It enslaves us and takes away our vision of what this world could be. There's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about, my people suffer from a lack of vision as well as a mm-hmm. lack of knowledge. So our people have lost the vision of what it's like to live completely under Yahweh's law and outside of this beast system. And so how do you fight a system when your people don't even have the vision, Phil? I mean, you and I and many of the listeners, we can visualize that. I long for it, to be honest with you. I long for it because under Yahweh's law, you don't punch a clock. You don't go out to a workplace and have to work with the idiots and all that subscribe to this political correctness garbage. You own your home. You own your property. You own the land that produces the food. You're independent. You don't need anybody else other than as far as fellowship, of course. But I meant the essences of life are right there on your property. So you have a sense of independence and strength there. Our people have lost that's even possible. They have bought the lie that we have to have this Babylonian system. I just don't understand it. Why is it so hard to grasp, Phil? You know, is it me? Am I crazy? Am I deluding myself and everybody else out there? I mean, why is this so hard to understand? Why is it so hard to say, I don't want Babylon, but I do want Father and Father's way? Why is that so hard, Phil?
I think it's because people are just trying to justify their own enslavement. I think that's what they don't really, they see conflict as bad simply as conflict. That's what they're taught, that all conflict is bad, and that if you follow the right way, it must, you know, if you follow one way of doing things, then it must be wrong because it's bad. Because you're having to forego thinking, I guess you'd say. So they try and come up with excuses of trying to avoid it. That's what our society does. It endlessly comes up with more and more excuses. There's a radio show that one I mentioned on Renegade Tribune. They talked about following orders, and that you should never follow, you know, that you should never follow orders, because if you follow orders, that's bad. It's always bad. It's always bad to follow orders. Always, always, always. And that's a sign of totalitarianism. Well, there's good orders and there's bad orders, and there's orders that if you know something is bad and you don't tell someone not to do it, then you're in many ways culpable. If you go through basic training in the military, the sergeant is giving you orders and trying to discipline you, because he's trying to save your butt when you're in combat, so you don't do stupid things and cause your own life or the life of your platoon or your division from getting defeated in combat. He wants your best interests at heart, and he's telling you what to do because he knows the right thing to do. And they automatically assumed that if you tell someone that they shouldn't do something, that you're somehow a totalitarian, you're a dictator, and you're somehow wicked simply because you say that. And our society has become that way, and everyone is their own individual, and they're afraid to take orders either from their parents or from Yahweh, and so they think they're smarter than everyone in there, and they're finding themselves dumber than anybody else in the room.
Amen. Pastor Steve just wrote in the blog here. He says, "I think they are scared to leave the quote herd and stand on their own." That's a pretty good observation. And from my years in business, in the military, and in just life in general, I would say that's a pretty accurate assessment. Most people are literally afraid to stand on their own, to have somebody call them a name or to point a finger at them. I mean, like I said, when I was a boy, we had a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I mean, we promoted the idea that just because other people are going to call you names doesn't mean you vacate the truth or vacate the right thing to do. When I was in grade school as a boy, they expounded on the virtues. We didn't read the McGuffey readers like they did many years ago, but still there was a morality taught. That the right thing to do is to be done regardless of what the herd says. And I think Steve has got it right there. Our people have to learn to be able to stand on their own feet, regardless of where the world's going. The world's going to hell, literally going to hell. And we need to stand against it. We've got less than 2 minutes left, Phil, if you had anything you want to close with.
Well, I remember that some time ago I was swimming in a neighborhood pool, and I was sharing the message with a couple of girls there, and they were very impressed with what I had to say, and one of them said, "Well, you know," I said, "I don't really have to worry about it because it said that Yahweh says that it says God says that he will take care of us just like he does with the birds and the animals and stuff. He's going to take care of us." Well. And I said to her, I said, "Well, remember, there's one very important caveat to that." I said, "There's one very, very big word in Scripture that you ignore. It's the biggest word in the English language, and it's only two letters long, and the word is if. If you obey my commandments, if you keep my laws, if you keep my statutes, and if you do that, you will be blessed. And if you do not, I will put famine in the land, and you will starve, and you will suffer, and you will go through pain and suffering until you straighten up and do what I tell you to do. And if you do not do that, then life is only going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's the most important thing in Scripture you need to understand, is that you need to follow his laws. And if you ignore them, you will pay the consequences, both as an individual and as a nation."
Amen. Well said, Phil. The book of Deuteronomy, the blessings and the cursings, I believe it's chapters 27 and 28. And even Pastor Steve says here, a big if, exactly. If, it's called a conditional proposition. Our people seem to always forget that. Thanks for being on, Phil. Yahweh bless your heart and keep up the good work, buddy.
Thank you. You too. And Yahweh bless all of you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. So dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this opportunity to reach out. We ask a blessing upon all your children. Forgive us our sins. And protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.